Studios. It's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
It is 8:35. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Court Lewandowski is supposed to be calling in. While we await his call, let's head back to President Trump on the couch with Fox and Friends.
Not the public school, but the Catholic school, the private
like
school.
Like Arizona.
Yeah.
So, Mr. President, we got to question.
And you're on board with that.
School choice is one of the most important things we're going to be doing.
Absolutely.
Because we have the worst. Think of it. Out of 40, we're number 40. Yeah. And yet, we're number one when it comes to spending per pupil. Does that sound good?
Well, there's a bill that just passed the Ways and Means Committee. It could pass in your first 100 days as president. Sounds like you'd sign it.
I would sign it. Anything to do with school choice, also. Okay. But also, separate from school choice, we're going to take the Department of Education, close it. I'm going to close it. We'll have one person, could be you, if you decide to retire.
Okay.
Mr. President, here's what bothers me. Here's what bothers me about that. So let's say you have a liberal city, let's Los Angeles, San Diego, and they just decide we're going to get rid of that history. We got new history. This is America built off the backs of slaves on stolen land. And that curriculum comes in.
Then we don't send them money. We would save half of our budget.
Okay.
And we're going to
set.
But if they want to do that.
Because you do lose control when you go low.
We've lost control. We're number 40. We're last on the list. Okay. We're the worst there is, and we spend more money than. And a lot of states, look, you know what's going to happen. The states that are well run now, like, I don't want to say specifically because, but you take Indiana, it's so nice. No debt, everything is good. Our beautiful Iowa, right, that I win every time. Take every one of those states. So let's say out of the 50, we have close to 40 like that. Then you have the laggards run by guys like Gavin Newsom, who is, you probably won't do as well there, but there you have to watch it a little bit more.
Right.
But no, if they want to get cute, then you don't send them the money.
So, Mr. President, we got a question from my home state of Texas. This is Don. He has a question about accomplishments.
Good morning, Mr. President. My name is Don Albright. I live in Katy, Texas. My question is, what is something that you did not accomplish in your first term that you would like to accomplish in this term?
Well, you know, we had a great first term. We had the greatest economy we've ever had. We had the strongest borders we've ever had. We rebuilt the entire U.S. military. Unfortunately, they gave a lot of it to to Afghanistan.
It is 8:37. You're listening to 100.5 FM. We'd hoped to have Corey Lewandowski on, but he hasn't called, and so we're gonna move on here and go to what's next. The Miriams are going to join us a little later from Great Northern Dock. They have their fifth annual food drive coming up, and they're going to do it with the Cabin Masters next Friday. Every year we try to help promote this for them. They're doing great work in the community, and we look very forward to talking with them about their efforts this morning. 775-1310. You heard President Trump just now. He's sitting on the couch with Fox and Friends in New York talking about issues. The economy, we've talked about the economy here so much. What a contrast in economies between the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris economy and the Donald Trump economy. Again, you know, I was with B.J. McAllister, who I like very much, by the way, over the weekend on Political Brew for News Center Maine, and he talked about the loss of jobs under Donald Trump. Yes, that is true if you discount the pandemic. But when you have someone like a Gretchen Whitmer or a Janet Mills or a Gavin Newsom, who's your governor, and they shut down your business and shut down your economy, people lose jobs. That's just the way that dadgum deal works. And that wasn't Trump's fault. Prior to the pandemic, from January of 17 to March, early March of 2020, we had one of the most, if not the most, robust economic expansions in American history. And the beauty of that expansion, unlike others, you've heard me talk about it many times, but doggone it, it's time to talk about it again, because we're seeing people once again go backwards under this Biden-Harris garbage. Trump's economy, his economic expansion was very different than the ones we've had that we remember. Reagan's, the great Reagan economy, the Bill Clinton economy that occurred when he decided to work with Republicans in 94 after the contract with America. Those economic expansions were largely vertical. Yes, people did get ahead, but not everybody got ahead. Not every demographic in the country was a participant in the economic expansion. But under Donald Trump, every demographic in the country enjoyed economic upward mobility. Every single demographic. And I think that that's critical here. That's what he wants to do again. You know, you heard Harris the other night on Bret Baier talking about giving tax cuts to the rich. Again, lies, that's all liars do is tell lies. And she's lying yet again. First of all, the top 1% of income earners in this country pay 46% of income taxes paid in this country. They only earn 26% of the income, but they pay 46% of the taxes. You can go to the IRS statistics. Wow, let me try that one again. You can go to the IRS statistics and look this up. Now, I don't know what fair share is because I don't think about that kind of stuff. I don't care what you do as long as I'm not being overly burdened myself. So I don't look at the world that way. I'm not envious of another soul on this planet. How could I be? I have a good life, and I'm married to the best person I've ever met with four healthy, happy children who have chosen four wonderful spouses and four wonderful grandchildren. What have I got to complain about? Well, I'm not complaining for myself. My life is good. But that doesn't mean I don't care about other people. But I don't envy anyone. So if Mark Cuban, who I don't care for, has $10 billion and pays very little in income tax, I don't care. Good for him. The tax code, as long as he's not breaking the law, he used it to his advantage. You know what that does? That makes him smart. And if you don't like the tax code, then elect people who will change the tax code. Elect them to do that. Elect them to get rid of the things that you don't care about the tax code. But I don't look at it that way. I don't care what you do as long as you don't overly burden me. That's all I care about. Everybody here is supposed to self-determine. But what the hell is fair share? If they're making 26% of the income and paying 46% of the taxes, that seems like an overburden on them. But people don't look at it that way because all this other side does, all the people like Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all these other creeps that have tried to ruin the American experience, they just want to sow division among people. And you don't have to take my word for anything. In fact, I never want you to do that. I've told you that every single day of my time on these airwaves. Just go look it up yourself like I did. It ain't hard. It ain't hard. Go look it up like I did. And if you're not willing to look it up like I did, then you shouldn't be talking about it. Because it means you have an opinion that has no basis. And that really is the definition of ignorance. 843, you're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is Jeff Preble.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm going to strain myself to be as polite as possible this morning. But here in Gray, where I live, we've just raised our taxes in the last 5 years by over 50%. The school board has raised the taxes on the school part of it a total of 19% over the last 2 years. Could be 18. I might be off a little bit. So they should have plenty of money. They are asking for a bond. Bond out to fix ventilation systems, roof, and to build a new athletic field. What really irritates me is they've raised all this extra money, And they are so poor at managing money, they don't have any money to do this, and they're going to go ahead and borrow it. And they've got these signs out saying, do it for the kids, do it for the town, do it for all this. Like, we're supposed to feel guilty. Well, I would like to know how the people that are on Social Security alone, they got a 2.5% increase this year, and I think 4.5% last year, are supposed to keep up with this. They won't be happy till all the damn elderly people in the town are living in two-room boxes that they're building down at Center of Gray, and they think they're wonderful. Oh, yeah, it has a bathroom, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, old people, according to these people, are expendable. They were useful while they could work and pay taxes to support this utopian government idea they have. But now that they're old and they're a drag on society, according to these people, not according to me, and sounds like not according to you, then they're no longer useful to the government. They're a drag on the government. So let's drive them out of what they have. Hell, if they're homeless, we've got plenty of homeless. What's a few more? I mean, I've had now, I'm keeping a track of all of it. And just so we're clear to all the people in Westbrook who have texted me, who are on fixed incomes, I have kept track of your text messages and your names and your phone numbers, because at some point we're going to have to do something about this. When they start driving old people out of the homes they raised their family in that they've paid off because of the utopian idiotic dreams of these people that have wrecked our educational system but can't find enough money to fund their stupidity. At some point, we're going to have to rise up against these people. We're going to have to shut them down. We're going to have to stop them politically. Why should 203 families who are senior citizens in Westbrook, Maine, be driven from their home because Sue Salisbury and their merry band of crazy people can't manage money?
Exactly. And then on top of it, we've got, supposedly, and if it's true, I'm sure it'll come out, looks like it is, that the same teacher that was criticizing students for who their families supported in politics has come out this time and been caught stealing signs.
Yes, she has been. I talked about that earlier this morning. Her name is
Ann
Cook.
I just want to say it to great people. Just think, this person is teaching your children today, and they want more money? But they got time to go out and steal signs? I'm sorry. You vote for this, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of people we have here. You know, this is the problem we have in the teaching profession now. There are some good teachers. There's no doubt about it. We spent time at the Royal Anchor on Saturday with a teacher that taught all four of my children, plus both of my son-in-laws. And because they went to Westbrook, and we took a photograph with them and we put it in the family chat. And they all kept coming back, best teacher ever, best teacher of my entire school career. There are good teachers, but the problem is they're being drowned out by rigid ideologues. That woman should have been fired for chastising that child because his parents were Trump supporters, telling that child that his parents should be educated by who? Someone like her who thinks it's appropriate to steal public property because she has no self-respect? Why would we hire people with no self-respect to teach our children?
Because they don't care about the kids, really, when you get right down to it. They care about what they want.
Ding, 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 ding. The man has nailed it, ladies and gentlemen. This is about rigid ideology, which leads to political power. This is about empowering the teachers' union with a bunch of people unworthy of being around your children because they're sycophants.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're breaking up.
Everybody knows.
There you go. There you go.
All right. For anybody in Gray that wants to confront me on this and argue with me about it, I'm Jeff Preble. I live at 7 Preble's Way in Gray by the Catholic Church. Come see me. I'll talk to you about it. I'm not afraid of you. I'm tired of you calling me names behind my back.
Yeah.
Come see me if you got something to say.
Yeah, Jeff, when you stick your neck out, they call you all kinds of things. But here's the truth. They're all wrong. They don't know. I mean, and they can't defend it. That's why they call people names. That's why they say they're racist or anti-education. Because when you present them with the body of their work, and the body of their work is failure,
I'm on the phone.
They can't stand it. Okay, they can't stand it. You know, we're harming good teachers here. No, it's okay. We're harming good teachers here. We're harming good teachers by putting sycophants into the teaching profession. We need teachers who will stand up for children, not indoctrinate children. Can you imagine what would have happened in my family when I was in school if a teacher had said to me, your daddy supports Ronald Reagan, he needs to be re-educated? Do you know what would have happened? They would have gotten fired, mostly because my parents had enough juice in the town to make it happen. What kind of crap is that coming out of the mouth of an educator? That's not an educator. That's someone you should never allow your children to be around.
Exactly.
They're not trustworthy.
Exactly. No, I can't say anything else because I'm really pretty aggravated about the tax increases for obvious reasons. But then I've been thinking about this, and when I read about this latest Social Security increase, I have a friend in town, who I won't give her name out because I don't have permission, who's 89 years old, who does sewing on the side, who, you know, would like to stay in her house. And she never complains. She never says anything, but I know it's a struggle. And if it wasn't for her family helping her, now they turn around and do this to her. And everybody can say, oh, it's reevaluation. Your mill rate went down. Yeah, well, my damn mill rate might have gone down, but my taxes almost doubled.
No, I mean, here's the thing. See, that's the big lie. The reevaluation is a scam, and the people just won't wake up to it. When you raise the valuation of the property, let's say, just for round numbers, the property valuation is $1 billion. Let's just say that that's the number. And your property tax mill rate is $20. Now, because they've not done their job and kept property values up to date, so now it's a decade plus later, and the revaluation is $2 billion. The mill rate should drop to $10 to balance out the money. But it doesn't. They drop it a couple of dollars so they can say to the public, look, we reduced the mill rate. They just lie to people all the time because what you have is what they want. They believe if you have something in excess, then you're greedy. But they're the greedy ones. They're taking, taking, taking. You know, we kicked the British ass over this stuff, but we're letting these people do it willingly.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
Hey, Jeff, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for firing me up again. I was too calm.
Have a good day.
I was too calm on Friday. Thank you. Thank you. It is 8:51. You're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
I'm good.
Remember I called you about the mayor in South Portland when he said go get a reverse mortgage?
Yes.
Well, he took the ad out in the paper today to apologize, right? Come to find out the a-hole is running for re-election.
Well, that's okay. You know what? The people spoke. He recognized the folly of what he said, and he apologized for it. We're all flawed humans. That's okay. Right. He recognized his error.
He would have never apologized if he wasn't running for re-election.
Well, he may not have recognized. No, well, you don't know that. Here's what you do know. People got fired up about it. They reached out to him. I had hundreds of people reaching out to me because I talked about it. And I said, email him. Let him know. Don't yell at him. Don't swear at him. Let him know how crazy what he said was. So he clearly learned the error of his ways and apologized. I think you should see that as a victory.
I don't think South Portland's ever going to find their way back to what they've done to this city. They have taken this city. I swear to God, this used to be a beautiful, beautiful city. And they want to make it Portland. That's what they want to do. If Portland does it, South Portland follows. We've lost $4 million and nobody's upset about it. Can I call the police about somebody stole $4 million?
Yeah, you should absolutely call the police and find out what they're doing to investigate why there was $4 million that's unaccountable.
I won't get in trouble for that if I do something.
Well, how are you
like
going to get in trouble for it? It's a citizen's complaint. You're a citizen, aren't you? It was part of your money, right?
Because they can't find it, and they don't seem to be upset about it.
Well, they don't care because they're just going to take more from you. They just raised taxes dramatically. The $4 million was lunch money for these people. They don't care. This is the problem today. We used to have, you know why we know people from our history? Do you know why we know Abraham Lincoln? Do you know why we know Daniel Webster and Henry Clay and George Mason? Because these were people who were actually people who cared about our future and our freedom.
Yeah.
The current crop of people will not be remembered by history except for the fact they are the people that drove us in the ditch. That's what they're going to be remembered for.
when those people run for office, they run because they wanted to do something good for this great country or something like that. They wasn't looking at what can I make for myself? What can I do to better myself?
Yeah.
They were looking, trying to help people.
I mean, Barack Obama walked into Washington, D.C. in January 2005. Appreciate your phone call. Walked into Washington, D.C. January 2005. He and Michelle were worth a little less than $1 million. Today, they're worth over $70 million. How does that happen? How many of you out there who didn't invent something like the iPhone or the iWatch or something incredible that made society better, how many of you, unless you invented something like that, have had that kind of rise in your personal family wealth? And the answer is you haven't, because you're not in politics. And when you're in politics, you have two goals: to oppress and to confiscate. Those are your two goals. It's 8:55. You're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Jeff Prebble is spot on today.
He is.
Every time, what I've noticed with this, you can't have a conversation with these people. You can't mention anything that they don't want to hear. It's like trying to argue with a angry little three-year-old girl that's just mad that you took a lollipop.
Well, that's because they've realized you're on to their scheme. Look at what Janet Mills has done to Maine. I mean, our budget is going to be over $12 billion when the new one comes out in January, by the time they're done with it by May. $12 billion. It went from $7.5 billion to $12 billion. It's not like our economy is flourishing and tax money is flowing from water faucets like water does. That's not what's happening here. They took in a whole bunch of COVID money. She has driven Maine into the ditch. Under her leadership, we fell from 23 to 50th in education, according to U.S. News and World Report. According to CNBC, we have been 50th and dead last in infrastructure under her leadership. Our economy is ranked 47th. Our business climate is ranked 48th. What the hell has Janet Mills done for Maine other than oppress our citizens and shut down businesses during COVID, creating fear and panic among our old people, and spending money that has not resulted in the betterment of Maine or its people?
I don't know. I have a question for you along that line. Who's responsible for lifting the tax where they weren't allowed to do basically what they're doing right now?
What do you mean?
Who's responsible for lifting? These towns weren't allowed to do this high. There was a law in place. Who undid that law?
The towns weren't allowed to do what? I'm not sure what you're asking me.
You weren't allowed to overburden. They're only allowed to go up so much percentage.
Oh, well, that was the last legislature. They have removed the cap on increases. I mean,
right.
These people just want to take. These people are takers. They're every one of them. You know, I'm going to tell the truth here because I know the truth. They're lazy people. They are intellectually lazy, and they are work ethic lazy. They can't even show up on time in the House chamber. It is so disrespectful to the people who have elected them that when the bell is ringing, they can't put their sorry no good behinds in their seats and do their job. These are lazy intellectually people. They lack curiosity and they lack a work ethic. I would say they're indecent, but I don't know them all, so I can't judge them.
You're spot on about most of the ones I've met, so.
We got to run. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. It's 8:57.
Hello, this is Joshua Morris, state representative from Turner. I'm running for re-election this year for the towns of Turner, Leeds, and Wayne. One of the